say to me, Martin, one day you wear a nice shirt, the next day you wear a t-shirt, and the next day you wear a suit coat and another nice shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I do. Yeah, what about it? That's right, I do. It's the prerogative of a guy doing a series on the Book of Revelation. This is hard enough. Believe me, this is hard work. If you think this is easy, oh, Martin only works 12 minutes a day. This, if you think that, well, okay, I'm not going to defend myself here, but this is a vast struggle. Paul called his evangel and the forwarding of it a vast struggle. So if a message of grace is a vast struggle to hold to personally, to maintain, and then to teach, let me tell you, studying the Book of Revelation and trying to make it simple to understand and relaying it to you is a vast struggle. Hours spent not in front of this microphone preparing these things, reading the book. But anyway, enough of that. I want to go back to Thyatira because we're looking at apostasy in the ecclesias, defection in the synagogues. There's defection among Israelites, if you can believe that. Yeah, it's not so hard to believe. Talked about Thyatira and Jezebel professing herself to be a prophetess. She's teaching and enticing my slaves to commit prostitution, to be eating idol sacrifices, and I give her time that she may be repenting. Jezebel, I'm going to give you 15 minutes, okay? You're going to repent. If you don't repent, you know, we're going to throw you out the window. Well, she didn't repent. Lo, I will be casting her into a couch. Now, I think we're getting figurative here. And those committing adultery with her into great affliction. Now, the Jezebel of the end times is going to be a confederacy of the nations whose chief industry will be wealth and the amassing of wealth and the ensnaring of other people. And Israel is going to have sex with Jezebel, speaking figuratively now. Israel is going to make it with the beast. And the beast is going to be thrown on the couch with legs wide open. And Israel's going to go right in and ride it. And that's the hideous end time tie between Israel and the nations. Between the scarlet woman and the wild beast. I will be casting her into a couch and those committing adultery with her in a great affliction if they should not be repenting of her acts. This is going to be facing Israel in these synagogues. The lure of the teaching of Balaam, of prostituting. Just look at the word by itself. Forget the connotations of a woman, of paying for sex. To prostitute is to take something and alter it. Take its virginity and soil it. And Israel was espoused to God. God married her. And she left her first love, as we read in Jeremiah 2:2. The warning to the church in Ephesus, was it? Left her first love for other lovers. And this is going to happen nationally, big time, in the end times. And I shall be killing her children with the plague. That sounds yummy. And all the ecclesias will know that I am he who is searching the kidneys and the hearts. The kidneys and the hearts, not the literal organs. The heart is the feeling. Kidneys, I have no idea what that signifies. It signifies something. It's not the processing of liquids through the ureters, okay? I don't think so. I'm not seeing that here. I shall be giving to each of you in accord with your acts. There you go. In accord with your acts. We are not dealt with in accord with our acts. If we were, we'd be axed. We'd be done. We are dealt with in accord with grace. They are dealt with in accord with their acts. Israel is. That's why the Acts of the Apostles is not about the grace of God. it talks about Paul, who became the spokesman of the grace of God, but it deals with the kingdom. Now, to you I am saying, to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, those who do not know the depths of Satan, the appeal of the flesh, the sensuous religion, the call to adulterate oneself in the name of immediate temporary pleasure, as opposed to long-term faithfulness, truth, and goodness. They are saying, I will be casting on you no other burden. Oh, thanks, no other burden. I'm going to search your heart and your kidneys, and I'm walking among you with a two-edged sword, and my mouth is like flames of fire. But other than that, I'm not going to cast any other burden on you. Just do everything I say, or else. Okay, but other than that, you're good. You're free. Thanks. No other burden. That's funny. Okay, now chapter 3. And to the messenger of the ecclesia of Sardis write, now this he is saying, who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I'm aware of your acts. Yeah, acts again. Acts are all through here. Do not read these and apply them to yourself. Do not do what Jesus is telling these seven synagogues to do. They're Jewish. And you have come into a new thing. You're a member of the body of Christ. Become watchful. Now, did I not do this? Yeah. I ended yesterday's show saying that whether we are watching or drowsing, that's from one of Paul's letters. I forget which one. Read them all. You'll find it. Whether we're watching or drowsing, we'll be snatched away together with him. I think it's in Thessalonians somewhere. But this is for those who are watchful and establish the rest who are about to be dying. The five careful virgins with the oil in their lamps, they're supposed to help the five foolish virgins who are going to be racing around trying to find oil when the bridegroom comes. Be remembering then how you have obtained, and here be keeping and repent. Repentance is huge. If ever then you should not be watching, I shall be arriving on you as a thief. If you're not watching, you're in trouble. How cool that it's the exact opposite with Paul, whether you're watching or drowsing. I'll get that verse for you. I was supposed to look up something else for you. Oh, that Antipas guy. Totally forgot about that. Do you really want to know? People can be so difficult sometimes. Antipas. All right, I'm going to write this down, try to remember. I forget what ecclesia that was to. You want to know about Antipas and the reference to drowsing, no problem. Drowsing, no problem in our gospel. Okay, but if you're not watching here, you're doomed. I shall be arriving to you as a thief. Under no circumstances will you be knowing at what hour I shall be arriving on you. Ooh, on you, not to you, on you. That's threatening, I think. But you have a few names in Sardis which do not pollute their garments. There's a few of you in that ecclesia. Names. This is interesting because watch, he repeats it in verse 5. I'm in verse 4 now of chapter 3. You have a few names in Sardis which do not pollute their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, seeing that they are worthy. Worthy. You have to be worthy. Same thing with Peter's epistles, James' epistle, John's. The one who is conquering, he shall be called. Oh, I'm not going to talk to you about the awards until tomorrow. But look at this. If you don't conquer, I will be erasing your name. So here, there's a few names in Sardis who do not pollute their garments, and I will be erasing your name from the scroll of life if you're not true, if you're not worthy. Erasing your names. Wow. Now, God has chosen us from before the disruption of the world, before sin. Our names cannot be erased. That's good news. I mean, it's beyond good news. It's stupid to call that good news. It's incredible. It's an amazing blessing. We can't be erased. They can. Names can be blotted out. Oh, now we're going to Philadelphia. And to the messenger, you can tell I'm kind of hurrying through this. I got two more ecclesias going to tell you this bad stuff. Tomorrow we're going to look at what's promised to the victors. See, we're victors in Christ. We have promises to us that are not based on acts, worthiness, or watching. I will say that again. We have promises made to us that are not based on acts, on worthiness, or watching. On to Philadelphia. Now, this is saying the true, the holy one who has the key of David. Now we're getting into Judah, I think. Who is opening and no one shall be locking, and locking and no one shall be opening. I'm aware of your acts, lo. In your sight have I granted an open door which no one is able to lock, seeing that you have a little power and you keep my word and you do not disown my name. Now see, in 2 Timothy 2, I think it's verse 12, Paul says, if we disown Christ, he cannot disown himself. This is the intimacy we have with Christ. We're not the bride, we're the body. The bride stands next to the groom. Wow, that's really close, isn't it? Yeah, but it's even closer to be the groom, to be part of his body. And he cannot disown himself, 2 Timothy 2:12. Here, you can be disowned. You do not disown my name, but if you do, he'll disown you. That's the circumcision gospel. Lo, I have granted to those of the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue of Satan again. That's what it's that's underlying it. Okay, it's not called the synagogue of Satan. None of these synagogues are called the synagogue of Satan. This is the synagogue of Philadelphia. That's what they call themselves. Brotherly love. That's what Philadelphia means. BS. You're the synagogue of Satan, who are professing themselves to be Jews and are not, but are lying low. I shall be making them, that they will be arriving and worshiping in sight of your feet. He's going to take the enemies eventually of this ecclesia and bring them eventually to the feet of the true names, the truth seekers, the faithful ones in Philadelphia, that they may know that I love you. So there's going to be a great day of reckoning when the low will be made high and the high will be abased and made low. And those who were nothing will end up exalted. And those who were exalted will end up worshiping at the feet of the nothing people. Love that truth. Seeing that you keep the word of my endurance, I shall also be keeping you out of the hour of trial. They're going to be sealed and they're going to be preserved. They're going to be tried but not killed, which is about to be coming on the whole inhabited earth to try those who are dwelling on the earth. I am coming swiftly, beholding to that which you have, that no one may be taking your wreath. It was possible to have their wreath stolen from them. And to the messenger to the ecclesia of Laodicea, we're in verse 13 of Revelation 3. Write this. Now this he is saying, who is the Amen, the faithful, true witness, God's creative original. Oh, that's a whole thing in itself, God's creative original. What's another topic? Forget about it. I'm aware of your acts. You are neither cool nor zealous. You ought to be cool or zealous. Thus, seeing that you are indifferent and are neither cool nor zealous, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. Ouch-cha. God hates mediocrity. There's no shades of gray here. You either are faithful or you're not. If you're like, well, you know, like those guys, those Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in Paul's day, well, we'll hear about this some other time. You can't do that in Israel. You can't be cool. You can't be indifferent. You either have to be hot or cold. He'd rather you be cold, I think. It's just this indifference makes him sick. Seeing that you are saying, I am rich, I have become rich, and have need of nothing. This was the Pharisees. Perfect. I'm rich, I have need of nothing. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those poor sinners over there. And it's such hypocrisy, because they were the worst sinners of all. I have need of nothing. Jesus said to the Pharisees, if you would just admit you have sin, then it wouldn't be standing against you. But since you say we have no sin, therefore your sin remains. Thus, seeing that you are indifferent, neither cool nor zealous, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Seeing that you are saying that I'm rich, did that. I am, oh, by the way, you're wretched, forlorn, poor, blind, and naked. Other than that, you're all right. You get that? You think you're rich, you think you're clothed, you think you have need of nothing, but actually you are wretched, forlorn, poor, and blind, and naked. What a terrible awakening that's going to be for these people in Laodicea. I'm advising you to buy of me gold refined in the fire, that you should be rich. This is the gold of faith under fire, and white garments that you should be clothed. Faith under fire. That's the whole thing with these ecclesias. Faith under fire. They are under trial, just like their forefathers were in the wilderness. They are tested. And James talks about that. Being tried, being attested. And they are going to be found true if they behave themselves. And if they don't behave themselves, they're going to be killed. And again, this is not our evangel. This is the evangel to Israel. You are sealed in Christ before the disruption of the world, before sin even entered into the world. So obviously it's before you did anything good or evil. You can't lose that, okay? Rest assured with that. You can read this and learn about Israel, learn about Revelation, learn about God, but do not apply these letters to the seven ecclesias, to the seven synagogues, to yourselves. Please, don't do it.